Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my Bitka of a co-host.
Bitka? What's Bitka?
You don't remember that from the episode?
Is that Willow trying to spell out bitch?
So she spells it. She spells she's being a real B-I-T-C-H. And then Giles is like, oh, we're a little old for spelling things. And then
Xander's like, Bitka.
Yeah.
Xander is a special student.
Oh my gosh. I will say, so new season, right? We're in season two now. Mm-hmm. We have a lot to talk about. If you're new to like us covering shows, one of the most exciting things for us in a premiere is the new Lukes. The new looks from everyone. So I'm excited to dive in. I really liked this episode, Sarah. Like a tonal shift in a way. We've not seen this side of Buffy before.
Totally. And I love it. I love when she's being a cunty bitch, to be honest with you.
Yeah, a little. When she was a bad bitch.
We've speculated a lot that she was probably like a mean girl at her old school, and that she has like this rougher edge. And to see her like just be nasty AF, it was very satisfying to see. And I liked it. And obviously she was like really awful, especially to the scene where she's at the bronze and she,
oh, I can't wait to talk about the dancing, Sarah.
That bitch, like, talk about like a queen. She did a big fuck you to three people at once with one move.
That is
like a level of evil that like I don't think that anybody could attain to.
This is how you know she's a reformed baddie, because like if she's like the sweetest little kitten, she doesn't think of that. But in her mind, she's like, how can I fuck up all these people's day in one single
move? In one swoop.
And it's to my ass all up on Xander's dick.
Maybe even like 3.5 people, because I feel like Cordelia was also like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be the biggest bitch in the world. So it was very, very, very enjoyable. I really liked that. And I like a lot that the reason why she was acting like this was not because of some supernatural phenomenon. It was because Girlie's got trauma.
Yeah. And I like that, like, we, like, Willow and Xander immediately are like, it's possession. It's so obviously like something wacky happening. And Giles is like, I think it's just that she's a teenager and she's been through some shit, you know? So maybe we need to have a little understanding.
I enjoyed that because, even of course, there was supernatural in this episode. We saw vampires, we saw the anointed one. But the big bad wasn't really a monster. It was our inner demons, which is
love that
poetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think I'm really happy with this episode as well. And then in terms of like the looks, I mean, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like Willow's might be the most like it's kind of like by cutting her hair 4 inches, we have aged up this character 4 years.
Except for the fact that they're still dressing her in overalls.
Whatever. I mean, like, I really liked her long, straight hair, but, like, this gives body.
Yeah, I feel like before she was giving kind of, like, Amish, and now she's giving a little bit more, like, you know, modern teen. Xander's hair is a little bit shorter, which I do think looks much better. I will say, like, I feel like we've improved. We're glowing up.
We've got a very slight glow up. It's fascinating that all boys have to do is trim their bangs and then they're considered to have a glow up.
Yeah. But, well, I do think we're going to get into it, but I feel like there was a slight personality glow up as well. So we'll talk about that.
I can see that happening. And then Buffy's hair, it was just like a little bit shorter.
I love a little Buffy's bit 90s. Hair. It's very nice.
Did she lose her bangs? Is that what happened?
No, she still has bangs, but they're more on the side now. She's giving Rachel Green, you know?
Yes.
Like, and I love a Rachel Green haircut as a huge fan of Friends. And this is very summer vibes of like, I've been through trauma. I cut a few inches off my hair. Now it's long and like swoopy at the bottom. Totally different girl. A little bit of a bitch. Like, I love what it's giving.
A lot of bit of a bitch. Yeah. Also, one other thought up front. So you and I have seen Cruel Intentions. And that the character that she plays is, like, the master of evil.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really totally seeing that side of Sarah Michelle Gellar in this role. But it came out. It came out this episode. And I love that. And as we know, or that we discussed in Cruel Intentions, one of the reasons why Sarah Michelle Gellar got cast was because, like, the director's daughter was a huge Buffy fan. Yeah. And I'm sure that they saw, like, her give attitude in this episode and probably others and was like,
range for sure. Yes,
like, this is our girl.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. She is giving, like, HBIC in this episode, which I love.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's start talking about the episode. We'll get to Cordelia's look when we get to Cordelia, because woo first. So we start off season 2, episode 1, When She Was Bad. And we're like, summer is almost over. We have Xander and Willow playing this game where they quote movies and the other person has to guess what the movie is. And like, I mean, Willow, of all the things, Star Wars girl, like, we come on now. That was no.
One of the things about me is that I really don't like quoting movies. And I think that it's something that I don't know if it's like our generation in particular, but these bitches out here
love
quoting moody movies and TV shows. And I really don't like it. And
I love it.
And I don't exactly know why. And it's like, I understand the references. So it's not like, oh, I just don't get it. I just don't enjoy doing it. So this game would be so annoying to me.
Yeah, see, meanwhile, this is exactly the type of shit that, like, me and my husband will do. Like, if we're, like, literally, I can think of a really good example where he made me, like, a specialty version of the game of Clue with, like, the Office characters. So that way we could put the cards in where you're supposed to on the Guess Who boards and play Guess Who Office. And now he's making a Succession version. And we were like playing the other day. And it's very much like up our alley to just be like quoting things and then ask the other person, like, what do you think this is from? Or do you remember what this is from? But Willow and I don't know, Sarah, I felt like immediately the show does a really good job of setting up that time has passed. Buffy hasn't been around. And as a result, Willow and Xander seem to have gotten even closer than they were before. And like, we get this moment where, you know, they're talking about Buffy. It's very obvious that Xander still has like interest in her, but I feel right. like it's kind of out of sight, out of mind sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they have this moment where he like, he puts ice cream on her nose. Their faces are very close together. They would have kissed. It seems like Xander is the one who kind of pulls back ever so slightly. And that's when like the vampire appears, but this was very close to happening.
You don't put ice cream on somebody's nose unless you have the intention of licking it off. You know,
1,000%. I am in agreement. Yes.
Ice cream on somebody's nose is a very flirty move.
It is.
And I feel as though, I think you're right. Like with Buffy out of sight, she's out of mind. Not to quote the penultimate episode of last season, out of mind, out of sight. But
yeah.
So I think it was very interesting seeing this dynamic because it feels as though like there was some sort of like intimacy between them. And I was feeling as though, oh, like maybe something did happen over the summer. Like maybe he did catch feelings for her or he like got to appreciate who Willow really was. But
yeah.
Of course, as soon as Buffy comes in, he totally forgets about Willow, which is just like, makes me roll yeah. my eyes because you're right. Like, I do think that there is something about Xander that was a little bit more tolerable this episode, but I just wish that he wasn't so wishy-washy. And I wish yeah. that Willow would not fall into the same rhythm over and over again.
I think what I surmise based on like how the characters are acting this episode, it feels almost like over the summer, Willow pulled back a little bit and wasn't trying so hard. Like she was like setting her feelings for Xander kind of to the side, really went all in on their friendship. And that allowed Xander to kind of possibly see her in a different light. You know, they got a little closer. But yeah, I think with Buffy coming back, he's immediately pulled back into that headspace from before the summer where he has a crush on Buffy. But I will say, I was like impressed with Xander this episode, and we'll talk about why. One of the moments is when this vampire pops up, he immediately goes to protect Willow, punches the vampire. Like he talks about how he was one of the ones complaining about, oh my God, Hellmouth. Oh, Hellmouth this, Hellmouth that, like blah, blah, blah. And then he even says like, it's been boring this summer without as much excitement as there was. And so it seems like he's like almost relieved to have vampires back in Sunnydale.
Yeah, but to Buffy, me, it's just ahead. Like he wants to be the hero still. Like he certainly, got the taste yeah. of like the appreciation of saving the day and he wants to continue that. But nobody is a match to vampires more so than Buffy. And like Buffy coming in with her shorty hair and being like, hey guys, did you miss me? And mm-hmm. instantly killing the vampire.
I know you want to kiss me.
I wish. Yeah, we love that. I just like really love her coming back and it was very, very sassy. Now,
yeah,
I also wanted to bring up something as we're going into the opening credits because, I mean, the majority of the opening credits is from season one. Like,
right.
You know this. But there was a few scenes that I was like, the one that I think of in particular is when Willow is like reaching out and it's like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah. There's like bright light on her face.
Yeah.
Maybe that's her becoming a witch.
Well, yeah. But like we never saw anything like that. But then I just realized that we have the scene with Buffy dancing, like grinding up against Xander in the opening credits as well. And I wonder if that was there the whole entire time. And then if that's the case, is this a different version of season one credits than was originally aired, if you know what I mean?
Like, I think they're going to update the credits every season with like little clips of like teasers for what's to come. And they're like some of the most yeah. exciting stuff in there.
You don't think that the sexy dancing was in the first season credits?
No, because it wasn't filmed yet. She didn't have short hair yet. I think this is a common thing. They did this in Dawson's Creek too.
No, like that's not it. It's more so like, did they film two seasons before they put out the credits or the
opening. No, because it was a mid-season replacement. So I don't think they had those in the can.
If anybody knows what I'm getting at, just let me know. Like, I'm wondering if it got replaced in streaming services only with season 2's credits.
Oh, I see what you mean. That I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, so Buffy is back. Xander hugs her twice. We find out that it's been like a very slow summer. They haven't really seen any vampires since Daddy Vamps, rest in peace, was killed. And when Buffy is asked about her summer, I don't know. It's like she's a little off, right? Like she says like, oh, I shopped, I partied, like I was just hanging out. And they're like, oh, yeah, also FYI, we buried the master's bones. We poured holy water on them. We got to wear robes.
Woo! You know I love a secret society. And the number one thing about a secret society is you have to wear a robe.
It's giving big traitors vibes. Yeah.
Oh, love that. Traitors.
Stop it. I love a hooded robe. It's such a look.
So, yeah, I definitely agree that Buffy seems to have some disconnection, especially when they talk about the master or like monsters in general. Like she enjoyed her summer just being a normal girl, but as we learned throughout the episode, like she was even distant and disconnected in LA, and we get an understanding that, you know, something's bothering Buffy. Something's off with Buffy. And
yeah. Even her dad says so, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, she's been distant. Like the more time we spent together, the more I felt like she wasn't actually there. And like, I mean, I don't know what a clearer sign of like depression / like mental health issues could be besides like someone being a little distant. You know what I mean? Like, gosh, yeah. I really wish Buffy had like access to therapy or was in therapy, because what she went through last year was a lot. And I appreciate the show being like, she's not just over it. You know, she literally died. Like, she's not going to just like stand up, brush off her like shoes a little and like keep on trucking. You know, she's going to need some time.
Yeah, and I appreciate that as well. It's like really, really interesting. And like the dad didn't even know what to do with her. So all he did was buy her a billion clothes, which is like
retail therapy.
I wish every single time I was depressed in high school, I got a new wardrobe. That would have been so clutch for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the mom doesn't like agree with the clothes
every day.
Yeah. She doesn't agree with the move, but she like understands, and she says like, I can't get through to her either. Like, I wish someone would like offer to try to get her counseling or something. I mean, the mom does try later in the episode, but we catch up with Cordelia, she has highlights now and she has fucking bangs. Cordelia wow. has bangs.
What a icon. I do like her summer kissed hair. We learned that she was in Europe this summer, and she was very upset because I think that she wound up in Tuscany, but she was supposed to go to what, like the Amalfi Coast,
St. Croix or something. So
yeah, so she
was supposed to be on a beach.
Yeah, and I loved the Cordelia isms this episode, because now that like we know who Cordelia is, and the fact that like in underneath it all, like she is a person that cares, I feel as though I have even more of appreciation of when she does these like very entitled, like stupid things, like her talking about like, oh, like, you know, I guess me going to Tuscany builds me character, but I already have so much character. Can a person have too much character? I don't think so. It's very funny if you don't take it that seriously.
Yeah. It's giving very big 10 things I hate about you vibes of, I know you can be overwhelmed and underwhelmed, but can you just be whelmed?
Yeah.
And like the whole like, what about my Skechers? But you don't have a Prada backpack. Like, yeah. Very 10 things I hate about you. Yeah, I totally agree. And there's a scene between her and Buffy later on that I really appreciated from Cordelia. Like, I think season 2 is going to be a really good season for Cordelia. I just feel it in my heart of hearts. So I'm excited about that. then we're catching up with Giles and the shitty principal who like hates children, which I love that Giles points out. He's like, wow, this is interesting that you're a principal. But Sarah, our shipping dreams are coming true because there are vibes between Giles and Miss Callender, and I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, Miss Callender can say come hither, and he goes after her like a little puppy.
Mm-hmm. She did Burning Man.
My God. Okay, so this is so funny because she basically danced naked under the moon at Burning Man.
Naked mud dances.
And she was like probably on shrooms and freaking acid all summer, and Molly.
Yeah.
Having a grand old time. And then we see like Giles, who's like super buttoned up, and it was just like very interesting. Like, this bitch was having a summer.
She's gonna get him out of his tweed, I'm telling you. She's gonna loosen Giles up a bit.
You know, like, these two are just apples and oranges. I just don't see them working out in the long run. It just doesn't make sense.
I feel like it's very much an opposites attract situation, and I think his flaws are her strengths and vice versa. You know what I mean? Like, she's much more loose and go with the flow. He's a little bit more buttoned up and structured. And so I think the combination of the two helping out the Scooby-Doo crew or Scoobies is like ideal. So I'm really excited about this. I felt the vibes in season one, and it feels like we're going all in right away with them.
I guess my question is, like, can you see these two vacationing together? Like, can you see Giles at Burning Man, and can you see Miss Callender like at a library book sale? Like,
I think the thing is, though, like, I think I view them as more of a couple where they do enjoy spending time together and doing things together, but they also enjoy their like alone time. And I feel like that's fine. If she wants to go to Burning Man with her friends and he not go, then I think that's okay.
I don't know. I mean, I think that it's going to be like a good little affair, but it's not going to be, it can't be a permanent thing. Like,
oh my gosh. Two.
I'm sorry. Like, I like both
breaking
of them individually.
Everywhere.
I like both of them individually, but they're just like not forever couple. Buffy is starting to be snarky, especially to Willow, because Willow tells Giles that they fought a vampire the night before, and Buffy, instead of just being like, hey Willow, like, do you mind keeping it down a little, like, people could be listening, she goes, if you speak from your diaphragm you can be even louder. You stupid idiot.
Yeah, she's being very snarky. And we get an explanation from Giles of like, yeah, Hellmouth closed. However, like, there's still all this mystical energy where we live. So that explains why we get to continue the show. It's interesting because, like, again, Xander and Willow have a little moment where, like, they had made a bet about how long until Giles mentioned his books. So they're like a little cutesy thing there. And Giles says, like, oh, Buffy, we should, you know, train. And Buffy is, like, immediately, like, yes, I'm ready. Let's do this. And it's very obvious from the little montage we get of her training that, like, she has been practicing. And this makes sense to me, Sarah, that, like, while she spent the summer not fighting vampires, she was keeping herself active because, I mean, she's probably really scared.
Yeah. Where do you think that she just went to her local gym and was starting to do somersaults and kicky punchies? Like,
I like to imagine she goes out in her dad's backyard in the dead of the night to practice alone, because if her dad saw her, he'd be like, holy shit, like, she's strong.
Yeah. For me, I just feel like it was so much bent up frustration that like, she definitely has like tunnel vision, and she's just ready to let it all out. Like, I think that she was a little bit bored. She has like a lot of definite, like, we see her having flashes back to the fight between her and Master. Like, I think that she's definitely in the zone to fight, and a lot of it comes from the fear. I agree with you, but also, like, I think it's a lot of anger as well.
Yeah, she doesn't want to be bested. She wants to be prepared for when inevitably there are more people for her to fight. And cut to some new baddies. So we have this new vampire. I don't know that they said his name.
No. He's like a preacher dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's call him Clayton.
Clayton. Okay, great. So he talks about how, you know, they've lost their way. We're weak now, but we will be strong. And he says there's a new hope. And they look over at the anointed one. So he's back. And they're like, he will lead us. He is our God. He is our leader. We'll be great now. We're all going to follow the little baby anointed one.
Well, yeah, because the prophecy said so. We predicted this. Like, we felt as though the anointed one would be the lead baddie, or at least, you know, the initial baddie for season two. It's a continuation. Daddy's Vamps's children really get to push through. And it is, like, kind of funny seeing this, like, 10-year-old kid, you know, sit on his throne around all these, like, 40, 50-year-old people. And they're just like, yes, we will follow your lead.
Yeah. He had a little bit of a glow up. He was in a little black turtleneck, Sarah, your favorite. He's, like, begging for you to love him.
I mean, I did like his look. I mean, I feel as though as a person that also lost their father very young, I can relate to the anguish that he must be feeling.
Yeah, the plight of the anointed one.
Yes, it's quite the plight. So I don't know if, like, these people are going to hold a candle to our beloved Daddy Vamps, but, you know, dreams could come true. I'm not quite sure. Buffy is in the student lounge dazing off, and Xander and Willow come over and they ask her what she was up to, and they're trying to, like, you know, be, like, cool and casual and her friends, and she's just feeling dismissive. But, like, once again, there's, like, some, like, weird groove between them. They, like, Xander and Willow, like, swap snacks. Like, there's, like, a level of something there.
There's a closeness. Yeah. They've developed a closeness. But this turns out to just be, like, a bad dream of Buffy's, because suddenly Giles is, like, strangling her, saying, oh, I killed you once. It shouldn't be too hard. And Buffy is, like, grabbing at his face, and it turns out he's wearing a mask, and it's the master. It's Daddy Vamps.
Oh, no, I can't believe it. He's back.
I was happy to get a sighting, a little Daddy Vamps sighting. Yeah. And Buffy wakes up, you know, this is a terrible nightmare. She has really cute pajamas, by the way, like these, like, silk pink, like, matching. I don't know. I love them.
You know what they say, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready.
I mean, and she was ready, because guess who's by her window? Angel. And she, like, is very snotty with him too. She says, like, oh, what is it? Your lunch hour? And she knows what he's there to do. He's there to be cryptic. He's there to be, like, only deliver bad news. And she says, oh, what, are your cousins are in town for a family barbecue and we're all on the menu?
Yeah. But, like, it's kind of like an inconvenience that he's there. And she dismisses him as well and is like, look, I don't need your help. I'm ready. Like, whatever's going to happen, I'll deal with it. It's fine. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, okay, but, like, I'm here for you. And she is like, don't care. Don't know you. Please leave my bedroom. Goodbye.
Yeah. She's very much pushing him away when, you know, she likes him, and she probably did. She did miss him. Right. He says, oh, I missed you. And he leaves, and she's too late when she says, I missed you, to him. Yeah. This is a very common of just, like, pushing people away when you really need them. Right. Like, that's what she's doing. And she probably also feels like we'll hear from her later. She knows that, like, whomever is around her is going to inevitably be in danger. And so I think that's also another, even if it's subconsciously, that's why she's, like, also pushing people away, because, like, to keep them safe and away out of harm's way. Not that Angel can't hold his own, but yeah, she's a little bit of a snot basket to Angel.
Nobody is immune from the Buffy snark this episode. She's ready to to ruin lives. And I like the next scene when she's with Joyce, her mother, and she's like sunglasses on, face out the window, don't talk to me, don't look at me.
Big Sarah vibes of wanting to cry out the window.
Yeah, I would do
while
that.
It's raining. Yeah. It's not raining though, so.
I have sunglasses very much like that, like those big buggy sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
So Joyce is like, look, I feel like something's going on. Like, I'm sure you're not going to tell me, but I'm going to ask anyway. And Buffy doesn't budge. I'm like, how could she even explain to her mother what's going on? Like, hi, mom, I got killed just a few months ago by like this crazy vampire. And I'm supposed to be the slayer and the best in the land. And I momentarily failed. Like, she can't get into this. She'll get sent to this local sanitarium. Yeah. Maybe the sanitarium. Maybe she'll do some garbage cleaning. But the local sanatorium. And she feels like nobody can understand her, but she's not giving anybody the chance.
Yeah, and she's like, she's really lost her, I don't know, she's not really doing the like fun girl talky moments with Willow either. When she tells Willow that Angel stopped by, of course Willow is like, ooh, did you guys kiss? And Buffy's like, not everything about is about kissing, Willow. Like, she has no time for any of this. She's all business. And she's like, oh yeah, he said something's up, but it's nothing I can't handle. And it's, yeah, they're talking about the bronze and like, oh, we should go there tonight. And this is when Cordelia comes up, and Cordelia has lost a little bit of her Bitka card, because she says, instead of saying like something super insulting, she calls them the Three Musketeers. And they're like, oh, well, that's, you know, you could have gone with Stooges, but okay.
This is what happens when there's a level and a layer of respect. Now your zings don't zing as hard.
Mm-hmm. Because and this is when her bangs are out in full force, and yeah, they're awful.
I don't hate the lighter hair. I do prefer her with darker hair, but those bangs are, whew.
I think the lipstick isn't helping, because it's very like 90s where you do like a darker lip liner and a lighter lip color, and it looks,
she has a zigzag bang.
It's really bad. It's not good. Poor Cordelia. I didn't mind when she had them pinned back earlier in the episode, but this is giving me circa third grade, and it's not a good look.
Sorry for you.
You should be. I had really bad bangs for a long part of my childhood.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's mentioned, like, she brings up all the demons and the vampires and blah, blah, blah. And Buffy is like very rude to Cordelia. She says, your mouth is open and sound is coming from it. This is never good. And she, like, you know, they're trying to be like, listen, Cordelia, we understand we all went through the same thing, but you're not allowed to just like, you can't just be talking about demons and vampires in front of everybody. But she does say, like, I'm not going to go telling everybody about that. I like spent an entire evening with you all. Like, don't worry about it. Your secret's safe with me.
Yeah, exactly. And she says, great. So you won't tell anybody I'm the Slayer, and you won't tell anybody I'm the Slayer, and I won't tell everybody that you're a moron.
That was like, oof. Like, I mean, I know Cordelia can be, again, an HBIC, but like, she was actually being not terrible here, and you treated her like shit.
No, she was being very, Buffy was being very dismissive of everybody. And even while Xander, Willow, and Cordelia were having this discussion, she was pulled out in the back, like, very disengaged. Like, it's she's acting like you're, like, everybody's beneath her, and that she doesn't have time for anybody. And you're right, like, she's all business.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we are at the bronze, and Willow is trying to get into the same rhythm that she had with Xander all summer. But Xander is like, where's Buffy? Where's Buffy? I want Buffy. I want Buffy. Where's Buffy? And Willow tries to dirty up her nose and be like, I have ice cream on my nose. And he's not interested. And I feel like Willow's hurt a little bit now because she's like, oh, we're back to this. Like, we're back to you having all eyes on Buffy, only caring about Buffy. What about me? What about Willow?
Buffy, Buffy, Buffy.
Very Buffy, Buffy, Buffy.
Yeah. And simultaneously, Buffy is, or excuse me, we are at the cemetery and we're watching the Anointed One and his cronies dig up the Master's bones. The holy water causes them to get a little burnt, but they continue.
I have a little bit of a complaint here.
Okay.
I just think that it was so dumb of Giles to bury the entire skeleton fully intact, so accessible, so locally. Like, this was so stupid. This is all your fault, Giles. Like, number one, if it was me, I do think that they should have smashed the skeleton. Like, we both thought it was dumb that they left the skeleton intact.
Yeah. Well, smashed we said it was skeleton. Weird that there was a skeleton, and that gave us vibes of, like, this isn't over, which we were right.
Right. But so there's that. That's number one. Number two, put, like, a little bit, put the head over there. Smash the head, put half of it over here, half of it over there, leg over there, femur over here. Like, put it, like, I would drive it all across the country.
Yeah.
Burying one piece everywhere. Let's do, like, the seven Deathly Hallows some shit, you know? What would you do if, like, freaking Voldemort put all seven of his Deathly Hallows in one little ditch? He would be fucked.
Yeah. I agree with you. I do think, like, the Giles' only defense is, like, he's like, I've never heard of this being able to be a thing before.
No,
however,
he just didn't know that it could happen.
Yeah, I think the thing is I agree with you. I think this gives big vibes of, like, I've committed a crime and I'm not someone who's ever been a criminal before. So I hide the body and the murder weapon and my DNA all in one location.
It gives big vibes of incompetence, to be
honest with you. It's not great. And Buffy, like, does blame them. She's like, you know, this is all your fault. So she goes to the Bronze and she's in this, like, cutesy maroon dress. Like, she's looking good. She got her new summer hair.
So good. I love the open back dress. Like, her, it just is the vibe. It's so the vibe. She's just
bad, like, bitch vibe.
Yeah. She's slinky. She comes in all sexily. She gives some sass to Angel and, She's just such a bitch.
She's such a bitch to Angel because Angel is just like, have I done something to make you angry? And Buffy's like, I'm not angry. I have no idea why you'd think that. I didn't spend the summer lusting over you. I'm over it. Moving on. No, and it's like, and holy shit.
And she's like, I've moved on to people that are living.
Yeah, damn, girl. Jesus, hit him where it hurts. Fuck. Yeah. But she immediately is like, okay, I'm pissed at Angel. He fucking sucks. I also just want to burn the world down around me. What's the quickest way to do that? Pull Xander onto the dance floor.
This is so funny. So
this scene cracked Xander me up.
Onto the dance floor. We have these, like, two singers. The vibey music just vibes out.
It's so extra.
Willow's watching in despair. Like, literally, Buffy has her ass on Xander's dick seducing him.
Yeah.
And the moment he thinks it's going to get any closer, she goes, I bet you've been waiting for me to thank you for saving my life. And then she's like, too bad.
Yeah, she's like, don't you wish I would? And, like, I mean, I will say, to give Xander some credit, like, this is everything he wanted, right? Like, and he is dancing with her, but he does look, like, astonished that this is happening. Like, he can't believe it himself.
He seems a little bit uncomfortable.
He feels like, whoa, this is now happening, but this isn't how I wanted this to happen. It's like, cause, like, Buffy is off. There is something very off about how she's acting. And she leaves him standing there. And she leaves the Bronze and out comes Cordelia. She follows her. And she's just like, you're really campaigning for Bitch of the Year, aren't you?
Yeah, but then Buffy is like, what, are you worried that you're going to lose your crown? Like, anything that Cordelia or anybody else says this episode, Buffy comes back with a better retort. Better than, like, I've seen anybody else be snarky on this show. Like, she's the queen of mean when she's in a mood. And once again, I just love that, like, this is inside of her. Like, this is not her being affected by some, like, evil demon. Like, this is, like, deep down Buffy's, like, factory reset, like, settings of, like, I'm that bitch and don't you forget it.
And when they go to toe-to-toe, it's so fun because, like you said, like, it's tit for tat, you know? And Cordelia says, like, listen, I'll do you a favor because you occasionally save the world. I'm going to give you advice. Get over it. And then she says, like, one of my favorite lines of the entire episode where she says, whatever is causing the Joan Collins tood, deal with it. Embrace the pain. Spank your inner moppet. Whatever. But get over it.
What is a moppet?
Let's see. What spank is your, a moppet?
Spank your inner moppet.
Okay. Traditionally, this word usually referred to a girl, and earlier it meant a doll from the Middle English mop, little child or baby doll. So spank your inner baby doll.
I don't. Okay.
I just feel like this has to, this is like the Buffy speak that people tell us about, the spank your inner moppet. It's just very like as if.
Do you want a shirt from Redbubble that says spank your inner moppet on it?
I knew that was a quote that people would use for merch. Of course.
What color do you want? There's every single color.
Obviously, it's Redbubble. Yeah.
Yeah. I can give you eggplant. That's what I can do for you. Great. Do you want it printed on the front or the back?
On the back, obviously, it's about spanking. Spank your inner moppet.
Okay. Only $21.
Yeah. And deal. And so Buffy is just like, maybe you should mind your own business. And Cordelia's like, fine, I'll just go see if Angel feels like dancing. And it's like, oh my God, they're having a bitch off and it's great.
Yeah, but we know that Angel's not going to give her the time of day.
No, of course not. But like, if Buffy were paying attention and not so distracted by her trauma, she would see Cordelia get carted away by the vampire crowd.
Very obviously as well. And she does make a little yelp and Buffy's like, too bad, so sad.
Yeah, oopsies, don't care. But Cordelia sees Miss Calendar. So Miss Calendar has also been taken at this point. So Cordelia and Miss Calendar are being held hostage. Buffy goes to Master's grave and notices it is now empty. She's traumatized. Like, she thinks she's seeing him out of the corner of her eye. And it's really tough. Like, I feel really bad for Buffy that she's going through this, especially because she doesn't really have anybody who can 100% understand what she's going through.
So there's no other Slayers out there. There's not like a
society. Local Slayer chapter.
Yeah. There's no Society of Slayers. There's no Grandmaster Slayer.
We know of, at least.
Because the thing is that the way you become a Slayer is that the previous Slayer dies. It's kind of like in American Horror Story, season 3, The Coven. Did you ever see that?
I've never seen any of American Horror Story. Scaredy Cat.
Yeah, it's not that scary. No, it's like a witch one. And basically there's like a high witch, like the most powerful witch. And the only way for you to be the powerful witch is that like the one before you dies and then it gets like bestowed upon you. It's just like that. Mm-hmm. So there's not like, it's not like the Hunger Games. You know how like all the champions like hang out sometimes? It's not like that. There's no like nobody can understand her because everybody else is dead, right?
Well, like to our knowledge so far, yeah. Like it's possible there are others, but we don't know of any.
Right, because like that's the other thing. Like there has to be other vampires all throughout the world. Like she's not also in charge of the like Bulgarian vampires.
Right. There you'd think there would be, and there'd be like some way for them to like stay in contact. Like possibly that's a thing for a future season. Like I wouldn't surprise me if we did that in the future.
Right. Well,
maybe they're trying to keep it local right now, you know.
This is a local chapter.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, so Xander and Willow go to Giles, and they're like, she's I love Willow saying, she's obviously possessed. Why would she be interested in Xander if she's not been possessed? And this is when we get the really great Willow spelling out bitch and Xander saying a bitka. Which I did laugh at, and I did think it was funny. And, you know, Xander wasn't bothering me as much this episode.
Look at that.
Growth. We love to see it.
Yep, absolutely. The principal chases everybody away and tells everybody to stop being a bad student and stop being a bad teacher.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I get it. If you always saw this teacher hanging out with like specifically like these three kids who we know the principal thinks they're like bad kids. Sure. But I do like Giles having the correct assessment of like, she's been traumatized and like, that's probably what she's just like going through it right now. Buffy, of course, walks in on this conversation and she's like pissed off. She's like, they're going to bring him back. And you told me that he was gone forever. And he was like, oh, I never heard of like revivification.
Working.
And she's like, but you have heard of them. And like, agreed. Right. Like Giles done fucked up here.
Giles, you know what? You would get a red flag on your permanent record.
Yeah, you're supposed to be watching. You're not watching out for Buffy's back without
you know what you're watching. One spot. You're watching Miss Callender's ass.
Yes.
So you know, given incompetence, I just it's the fact that it's that, and it's also the fact that it was altogether so local. She's so stupid. We are in the library researching, and out of nowhere, from the skies above, a rock with Cordelia's bracelet comes flying through the window and is like, we have your Cordelia.
Yeah, come to the Bronze before it opens or we'll make her a meal. And Giles has discovered in this book that, like, in order to revive a vampire, they have to have someone who's been connected to the vampire, which Buffy believes to be her. But it turns out later on, we find out, no, it's like physical proximity to the vampire when they died, which explains Cordelia and Miss Callender getting taken. And everybody in the library right now knows this is a trap for Buffy. But at this point, Buffy doesn't care if it's a trap. She wants to handle things by herself. She says, this is my fight. I can't keep you all safe while I'm fighting. And like, I get it, right? Like, she thinks this is her cross to bear, so to speak. This is her fight to fight, and she doesn't want them getting in danger. But she's missing the forest for the trees right now, because it turns out they're going to be the ones who are in trouble. And if they're close to her, then she would be keeping them safe. Whereas this is a trap she falls into by leaving them alone.
In Buffy's defense, Giles read the passage wrong and misinterpreted it, and he told Buffy the closest, and then later on he discovered it was the physical closeness. Maybe if Giles didn't have his junk all up in Miss Callender and was paying attention and watching properly, he would have interpreted that language better.
I feel like language is difficult, especially English language. Like, there's so much up for interpretation. So if it was like, oh, close to the vampire, naturally I think you would assume Buffy would be the target, rather than like, oh, physical proximity to the vampire when they die. Like, that's not exactly what it said. But sure, yeah, like, he could have done a better job. Warning
everything to be Giles' fault.
Yeah, you're just gonna blame Giles for everything.
Yeah.
So Buffy goes off, and Angel, of course, is following her, as he is wont to do, pretty much stalks her for fun. And she's given him major sass. She's like, I can handle this myself. Like, and she even challenges him. She's like, oh, you think you can take me, bitch? Let's fight right now. Let's throw down.
Let's do it.
I mean, kick my ass.
Do it up. You think that you're so tough? Beat me up.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny. It's ridiculous. But they go inside the Bronze, and there is someone who's like wearing Cordelia's coat, but it's not Cordelia. It's a vampire.
Yeah.
And it's an Angel
right away.
Yeah. They all know, right? Like, they all know this is a trap, and Angel's like, I don't understand. Like, obviously she's the bait, but like, then why is there just one person here? Like, why is it not a whole mob of vampires here to attack you?
Right. Yeah. Ew, I hate this fake Cordelia vampire. She is creepy and ugly.
She nasty. I mean, obviously the vamp look on most people's faces looks awful anyway. But yeah, she's real nasty.
And she's like, she's just like kind of a jerk. Big jerk. I mean,
they all are, yeah.
Yeah. Seems like. So Giles realizes that he misunderstood. Willow is saying it's all a trap. And Giles is like, you're right, it is a trap. It's a trap for us. And then we see like dozens of vampires coming down onto them in the library.
Yeah. And so Buffy makes it back to the library. She tells Angel to like watch the Cordelia lookalike. And by the time she gets there, it's too late. Xander has like a bloody nose. I love how they didn't kill Xander. They're like, eh, why bother? Let's just give him a bloody nose and leave him.
Man, I thought that we could have gotten the gift of the century.
Yeah, seriously. But he's Xander at this point is this is like the first time I think we've seen him like actually pissed off with Buffy. And he says, like, I don't know what your problem is, but I don't care. If you had just had listened to us, this wouldn't have happened. And he gets very defensive about Willow. Like he says, if they hurt Willow, I will kill you.
Wow.
Which okay. As if you could, Xander. Come on. Like let's calm down a little bit.
So he's upset that like she ran off and didn't work it out with everybody. And she just was like, I'm going to do this on my own. And she left them high and dry. Is that what he's mad about?
Yeah, he's pissed because if she had listened to them, then they wouldn't have taken Giles and Willow. Then they would be safe.
But what do you mean listen to them? Like, what were they saying?
Well, they were saying we should all stick together. Okay. And like Buffy could have protected them if they were all together or at least had a better chance that they were just sitting ducks where they were, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So he explains like, yeah, it was physical proximity when the master died. And so now they have everybody that they want. And this is like, this next part is like absolutely wild. So like, Buffy goes back to the Bronze and she starts interrogating the Cordelia lookalike and straight up is torturing her. She takes off her cross necklace and she's just like, oh, I'm not going to kill you anytime soon, but how are we going to pass the time? And she puts the cross in the vampire's mouth, which like basically just burns the shit out of this vampire's mouth. Like we're talking the hottest cheese pizza you've ever eaten in your entire fucking life, straight out the oven, right into mouth.
Yeah, she's unhinged. She really is. Like, I think that she's just, I mean, and deservedly so. Like, this is a vampire. She is trying to murder everybody. She is part of a plan to kill everybody and bring back the master. So, like, yes, she is torturing her. She's playing with her food a little bit, but still, I don't, what are you supposed to do? Like have a tea party with her and be like, if you don't mind, like, please tell me this information.
No, but also like, it definitely felt like she was enjoying it a little too much, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like this is definitely a edge to Buffy that we haven't really seen before. There wasn't any like snarky, funny remarks afterwards with the banter. This was just like, I'm going to fuck you up. I'm going to hurt you. So, meanwhile, over in the den of
like abandoned warehouse or something.
I have no idea even where we are, but
vampire headquarters, Clayton, but not underground because we're down there for 70 and we don't need to be down there anymore.
No. So Clayton and the Anointed One have tied up Miss Calendar, Cordelia, Willow, and Giles.
They're hanging upside down like meat in a butcher's.
Yes, right over the skeleton of the Anointed One. And they're like basically, you know, they're getting cooked for dinner.
Well, they're going to make their own blood jacuzzi, essentially. Like they're basically going to like cut their throats like slaughtered pigs and... like their blood is going to give rise to the master again. And so Buffy says, you two are, you know, you, Angel and Xander are going to get the others out of here. I'm going to go kill every single last fucking one of these people.
And she does. She absolutely does. She kills all the Brando losers. She kills Clayton. Clayton's like mostly focused on like getting the anointed one to safety. And
yeah, I thought, honestly, I thought we were going to get more of Clayton. Like, I thought Clayton was going to be around for a little bit this season because he felt like, oh, he's going to like help the anointed one. You know, he's going to be his little protector. But yeah, we see a little anointed one sneak out the back or go hide in the back, I guess is more appropriate to say.
Well, yeah. Yeah. He got protected. So did he kill, did she kill the Clayton?
Oh wait, no. No, he ran away. That's okay. When you said it, I was confused because I was like, I don't remember her killing him. No, well, he runs away okay. and the anointed one hides. So we probably are going to see more of Clayton.
Maybe one day we'll find out Clayton's name.
Maybe, but they don't say it this episode.
Today it's just Clayton.
Just Clayton. So Angel and Xander, meanwhile, get everyone off the hooks or whatever. And they're like, you know, they're tending to their wounds and blah, blah, blah. You know, Buffy is still doing her kicky punchy routine. Eventually she does have this whole fight with Clayton. He comes back in. Oh no, she does. This is where she kills him.
Okay.
No wonder. I was confused because I was like, wait a minute. What happened? He ran out. Then he comes back. He has a sledgehammer. She literally lights this guy on fucking fire.
Yeah. I forgot about the Thor's hammer. He's like, I'm back with this hammer. It's going to save the day. And she's like, nope, you're on fire, bitch.
Yeah, dead now.
Which I didn't realize fire did anything. So what is the...
Like, well, it makes sense because light, they don't like light either. So fire and light feel like they go together.
Yeah, I guess. So he burns and goes. So the anointed one is alone.
Yeah, oh. And this is when Buffy has her own little version of therapy where she takes the sledgehammer and Xander says she's working out her issues and she smashes the master's bones to pieces.
Which they should have done in the first place, but...
Seriously, yeah.
So yeah, she... And this was a very emotional scene. Like, you can see that Buffy is, like, you know, really going through it. She needs this release. Everybody's watching her essentially like act out in a way, get out this frustration on the skeleton. And the skeleton is like mostly to dust. Except for the freaking skull could have been smashed a little bit more.
No, she smashed the shit to bits. And she's like sobbing as this happens. And Angel comes up behind her and she hugs him. She's still wearing his jacket. Just need to point that out. She is still wearing the leather jacket.
Well, yeah.
Because we still it's have a crush on
it. Still
Angel.
Smells like him.
Yeah. And they're having a little bit of a moment as everyone's kind of watching. And the next scene, what a cut. Like, the next scene is Cordelia and Miss Callender like walking at school, and she's like, you know what the worst part is? No one tells you that rust and blood and grime like doesn't come out. Like, you can dry clean all you want, but you're gonna live with those stains.
It's essentially like a social commentary on trauma itself. Like, you can try to scrub off all the hurt from you, but it's going to leave a stain within your heart.
Mm-hmm. So out damn spot.
I think that was pretty profound of Cordelia right there.
she's so deep.
Very deep.
She's an emotional well, really.
The well is basically like 5 inches deep, but
it's a
yeah.
puddle.
it's a body of water.
Mm-hmm. And Giles and Buffy are talking, and Buffy is like very embarrassed. Basically, she's like, how am I ever supposed to like have a conversation with them again? Like, I was such an asshole. I was a moron. I put them in grave danger. And Giles tries to make her feel better by saying like, well, this is definitely not going to be the worst mistake you ever make. And then he's like, wait a minute, that was supposed to be comforting.
Thanks, Giles. So yeah, she goes in and she doesn't even know if like they would want to sit next to her in class. But of course they saved her a seat. They welcome him in, and they do a really, really, really good job on making Buffy feel welcome and that like nothing has changed between them and that they're still friends and that they're still like they're good. And I thought that both Xander and Willow did a great job with like trying their very best to make Buffy feel comfortable and still a part of their inner circle.
I agree. I like that they saved her a seat and they didn't, they're like, we don't even need to talk about it. Like, we're cool. Don't worry about it. All is good here. And she looks like relieved, you know, that this is, she can finally start to move past what happened. I thought this was a really effective season premiere in terms of we're not forgetting everything that happened in the finale. We still have shit to do and deal with it, but we're on a journey to healing from all of that until inevitably more bad shit happens.
Yeah.
And we finished the episode with a little anointed one, like coming out from his hiding place and he's looking at all the bones and he's just like, I hate that girl.
Yeah. I mean, he's all alone again. It's very hard.
He's an orphan.
He is an orphan like three times over. It's just awful.
Devastating.
Do you think that this is the last time we're going to deal with this with Buffy, like be like in terms of like, I think in the future we're going to see her emotions and her ups and downs, but like, do you think that like all she needed to do was smash the master and now she's like over it, or do you think this is gonna like carry through?
I think it might be a running theme of the season. Like, I think this is gonna be her, I think she's going to become a little bit more hardened to like the life of a Slayer and not have as big of a reactions to like, you know, nearly dying. Cause I imagine it's probably going to happen pretty often. But no, I think we're going to get more of this. And I certainly think this is not the last time we'll see bad Bitka Buffy, you know, the BBB.
As we always say, we always say that.
The triple B. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
But let's get into some feedback here. We got an email from Justin. He said, I was just kidding about the pop quiz thing. If you keep complaining about the lore, I might have to circle back and come up with a small pop quiz on Buffy and or vampire lore in general.
Do it. if you want to make a Google questionnaire, I will take the test.
There you
go. I'm very happy, but I'm not going to do some sporkle shit. Okay.
No, that would have major spoilers, I have to imagine.
You have to do some authentic questionnaire quiz to see if I can do it. And I'll take the test.
Yeah. He also said that, let's see. Oh, I'm enjoying watching these episodes over, keeping pace with you guys, and then coming here and listening to your experiences with the show, along with everyone else who writes in. Thanks for doing what you guys do. You've been here for me through some depressive or hard times lately. I can't wait to hear what you guys think about season two. So thank you so much, Justin. That's really kind. And honestly, like having a routine to pot, it's like, it's healing for us too. Like it's just fun for us, especially when people send in their thoughts as well. And he said, as one of my favorite women's wrestlers always says, chin up, tits out, and watch out for the shoe. And then it says throws shoe. This is the thing that someone says.
It's one of our favorite female wrestlers.
Chin up, tits out.
Tits out.
And he ended his email with, Jess, please, please, please keep Sarah away from those vampires. We don't need her getting turned and causing trouble for Buffy either. She has enough on her plate.
I'm about to go. I'm ready. Sign me up. I mean, yeah. I feel very bad that the Anointed One's an orphan. Maybe he needs a new mother.
You want to be his mom?
I feel like I could parent him. Yeah.
Could be his mama.
Yes, I could be his mama.
Mm-hmm. We got an email from Joy. She said, I'm sure everyone else has already said it, but it's Buffy Summers, not Martin.
Okay. So we did forget Buffy's last name.
They say it all the time.
Well, They might say it. I mean, we definitely had heard it. We just forgot it. Buffy Summers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll lock it in. It's locked into my memory. I mean, they live in Sunnydale, Buffy Summers. Like, it makes sense.
Sure. Did we find out what Buffy's full name is? I feel like we talked about
like her middle name?
No. Well, yeah, that. But like, is Buffy short for Buffy or is it like Buffinda?
Buffinda?
Yeah.
I think Buffy is just Buffy. What is Muffy short for? Is Muffy short for something? Like Melinda?
Muffin.
Maybe it's Belinda, and then you short to Buffy.
Ooh. I'm sure that there's an answer out there. It's probably like something like Elizabeth.
You honestly, that could be right though. Because there is 1,000 nicknames for the name Elizabeth.
What is Buffy short for? Yeah, it's Elizabeth. It's
Elizabeth. A fucking course it is. Oh my God. Elizabeths are so lucky because they could have any nickname they want and
they
justify
could be
it.
Anybody who they want to be.
Yeah. So yeah, it's Buffy Summers, not Martin. And she said some of your predictions were spot on, which is impressive. Buffy had some issues to deal with. Dying and coming back to life will do that. And again, I know y'all love Daddy Vamps, but I think this is a great choice to have Buffy destroy his bones as a way to process. It was very cathartic. Which I totally agree with. Totally agree with. I think that is the right call.
That's why there's those like TV smashing.
Angry rooms or smash rooms, or I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I throw stuff.
Yes.
And it does not end well for me.
Especially when they're expensive things that you're throwing.
Well, I don't throw expensive things.
Yeah. When you heavily accidentally dropped your phone.
My phone.
Yeah. Joy continues, I'm not Xander's biggest fan, but you got to give him credit for not taking advantage of Buffy's behavior, even though some of the things he says still give me the ick. Very fair. I do think like Xander had a large improvement this episode to last season.
Maybe he got notes and they're like, we got to do something about this guy.
I mean, I imagine he's just going to have more bad episodes on the horizon at some point. It was just that Buffy was being such a bitka that like by comparison, he looked like a little bit more squeaky clean, I guess. Mm-hmm. She says, poor Angel. He doesn't know how to handle Buffy acting out. That dance affected everyone. She was such a bitka.
I mean, she ruined lives. She really did. She set out to ruin everybody's day and she accomplished it. Except she didn't ruin my day. She made my day better.
Yeah. I love Willow, and she kind of reminds me of Joey in season one of Dawson's Creek, where I'm rooting for her to get with the guy she likes because I want it for her, not because I like the guy. But I think Willow can do so much better. Agreed.
Willow, yeah. Who's Willow's SO in the future?
Someone we haven't met yet, I think.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Giles and Miss Callender are so cute, and I love how awful Principal Snyder is. Cordelia Chase, my queen. I love her so much, and she's so good in this episode. Spank Your Inner Moppet isn't as good as Hello Salty Goodness, but it's up there. And I love that she's still snarky with the Scoobies, but she's also wanting to help. And I like that she tries to get through to Buffy. She's the best.
But what does Spank Your Inner Moppet mean?
You gotta spank that little girl. You gotta say, no, I'm not gonna cry anymore. I'm over it.
This is exactly the opposite of what my therapy tells me to do, which is like heal that inner child.
Yeah, Cordelia's like, spank that bitch.
Vanessa, my therapist, is like, you need to soothe your inner Moppet.
Mm-hmm. To soothe your inner Moppet. Joy ends her email by saying, the season starts out strong. The writing is tighter. The characters are more fleshed out. And you could tell they stepped up their game from season one. So she's really excited for us to be in season two territory.
I'm excited.
Yeah. We also got an email from Julia. And she says, hi, ladies. I've been a listener since you covered Dawson's Creek, my favorite teen show. And then I listened to your Freaks and Geeks coverage. Buffy was one of those shows I had heard a lot about and know it's a cult classic for many people, but I never thought I'd watch it. However, after listening to your episodes, I thought it would be fun to follow along. This is very exciting that we have someone else on the screen with us. I'm really excited. Julia,
this is so good.
Welcome, Julia. So the first episode I watched was The Pack. Oh, no, Julia.
Julia, what happened to you?
Are you okay?
She was just listening to the podcast. I'm sure she was like, you know what? If it's this ridiculous, then I have to watch.
Yeah. She said the slow-mo Xander walk scene, I have no words. What was I watching?
And then
after that, she watched iRobot You, Jane. She says the next episode was equally strange. The computer software monster.
You know, I just want to follow along on like Julia's playlist.
She's picking the worst ones, I think.
Julia's an artist. She has a vision.
She says, as someone that grew up with computers, it was so terribly outdated and nonsensical. At this point, I was fully convinced that this was a terrible show, and the only reason it was a cult classic was 90s nostalgia.
I mean, you're probably not wrong. This is okay, so funny. Let's bring it back. How did she come around?
So she says, some of your guests had mentioned season two being their favorite. So I decided to watch a random season two episode, and it was so much better. Julia, girl, what are you doing?
Julia is the chaos monster that I aspire to be.
Yeah, we all could do with Julia, a little bit more Julia, actually.
Julia, are you an Aries? Like,
we need to know, please.
Tell me, when's your birthday? Tell me your secrets.
She says, funnily enough, it was another Xander episode. Thankfully, the show gets so much better. And I'm now on to season four. Wait. Julia, have you binged all seasons one through four? Or are you just hopping and bopping around, girl? What are you doing over there?
Julia's watching like every seventh episode. Like, this is what I'm doing, and this is my narrative.
She said her favorite character is definitely Buffy, followed closely by Giles. Giles and Buffy's adopted daughter-father relationship is my favorite relationship on the show. Number three is Cordelia. Yes, she can be a bitch, but I kind of love it. Yeah. And then I love how she says, wow, you guys really hate Xander. I like Xander as a character, even though I often cringe at his one-liners. Xander being the comedic relief character, I just see it as the writer using him as the vessel to deliver their lewd jokes. So I don't actually hold it against him. I think he's pretty self-aware, and a lot of these jokes come from insecurities. I would agree with the insecurities part, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming around on Xander a little bit after this episode, but we'll see what happens next episode. I make no promises.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, is it just me or do Xander and Willow have chemistry? I was not expecting it at all, but that near kiss this episode had so much chemistry. Honestly, maybe even more than Buffy and Angel.
Whoa.
Big statements from Julia.
Well, Julia, yeah, I mean, it's undeniable. If you put ice cream on somebody's nose, then you're meant to be.
Mm-hmm. I do think they did have chemistry, but I just don't. I don't know that it's going to really progress. And if it does, I don't see it lasting long. Like, do you think they're end game? Like that, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. So. She could do better.
That Xander's going to die this season.
Great. Perfect.
I'm putting it out there into the universe.
Yes. Make it manifest it.
I'm manifesting it.
Yeah. But thank you so much for your email, Julia. Please keep us apprised of all your thoughts going forward. And also let us know if you're an Aries.
I don't know how you do it, but I like that thing that you do.
Mm-hmm. That like, thing you do.
Yeah, like that movie, that thing you do.
So if you want to be like Julia and everyone else who sent in amazing feedback, shit90spod.com. You could send us in a voicemail, shit90spod@gmail.com, or you could tweet at us or whatever, at shit90spod. Sarah, do you want to know? Yes.
Can we just, instead of watching the next episode, just watch like season three, episode 15?
No, because I am not an Aries and I cannot do that.
I want to be the Julia.
Well, we can't because that would ruin the podcast.
I want to follow the path that Julia has set out for me.
The most chaotic thing I've ever heard. I watched two random season one episodes and then I jumped to season two and then now I'm on four. We need to know, Julia. Have you seen all the episodes? You just bopping around over there. What's going on? Are you okay also? Are you all right?
I love it. I think it's genius. Oh, what's the perfect. Next episode called?
The next episode is called Some Assembly Required.
Oh,
it's like a toy. That's toys.
Toy yeah. Story, but scary.
Ooh, maybe a toy comes to life.
Yeah.
Okay. That could be it.
Yeah.
Possessed. We talked about possession this episode. So.
Oh, no. Could happen. I'm reading a book right now. Oh, it's. Oh, okay. So this girl is a nanny and she is nannying for a kid. And this kid starts drawing these like creepy drawings.
Oh, bad signs. Bad signs.
This girl named Anya. And he's like, oh, Anya told me to make this drawing. And the drawings are like, Anya's getting dragged off into the forest to get murdered.
Immediately you quit.
So then she is like, okay, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, tell me more about the drawings. And then he's like, I don't draw Anya anymore. But then she keeps getting these drawings delivered to her at her doorstep and like put on her fridge. So then she puts a baby monitor into the kid's room to watch the drawings, and she sees him like sprawl out on the bed, and his eyes are all white, and then he's like drawing the drawing. He's possessed by what I assume is Anya.
I hate this. I hate this.
But Anya just wants to show who killed her, I think.
Well, maybe that's what will happen next episode. Maybe we'll have some sort of possessed child. Like, well, we already did that kind of, though. A little bit.
Not really.
Plus, we don't need more children. We have the anointed one, you know, and he's already an orphan, so we don't need more bad things happening.
Oh, wait a minute. What? I know what happened. The anointed one signed up for a shopping spree at Toys R Us. Remember in the 90s where one kid got to get like the Jeffrey
the giraffe? Yes, yes.
So then like you got the shopping cart, and then like he goes around, gets all the toys that he wants, but the issue is that like some assembly is required. So then he's like, wait a minute, hello vampires, like can you help me assemble? And they're like, sorry, we can't read this, and also we want blood. So then they're like, hey Buffy, can you help me assemble this toy? And she's like, no, I have to murder you because you're the anointed one.
The anointed one asks Buffy for help assembling his toys.
Who else would he ask?
One of the vampires.
I just said that they don't read.
But they don't read. They can read. What is it about vampires makes them not be able to read?
It's a different language.
Oh my God. now I have the, do you remember the commercial for Toys R Us? It's like, I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
Yeah. Do you think that the world cried when Toys R Us closed and there was no more Toys R Us kids?
I always wanted to go to a Toys R Us and like never really did. Not until I was like 16.
Are you pro giraffe?
Yeah.
So there's this guy.
I got some long ass necks.
I was watching the basketball tournament, the football, no, college.
Do you know what you were watching? Were you awake?
The college basketball tournament. And they do these like little sob story things. Okay. About like all the kids, or sometimes they're like good. And one of the kids on one of the teams was, his nickname was Giraffe. And he said that he goes to the local zoo 2 times a week to visit the giraffe.
2 times a week?
Giraffes.
And everyone at that zoo knows that man. Everyone. They're like, this is the fucking weird giraffe man.
One, you were on like a Division I basketball team. And you have to train all hours of the day, I'm sure. And you're a student. How do you have time to go visit the giraffe?
That man loves giraffes. I don't know that I love anything that much.
He gets like gifted like toy giraffes all the time. And he like brings his stuffies everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did we get here? Can we end the podcast? Because I don't know that we could top that.
No.
Well, we already said some assembly required. That's next week. Felicity season 1 is over. Go check out all those podcasts. Now's a great time to jump in there. Coming up very soon, we covered The Mummy with our friend Melissa. So check out that podcast when it drops on Saturday. I'm doing Talking Shit still with my friend Stuart. We're talking about Schitt's Creek. Sarah, you want to plug anything on Whirlwind over there?
Just follow Whirlwind Pods. We have everything that we do posted, so check it out.
Perfect. We'll be back next week. And until then, here endeth the lesson.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.